everybody. Welcome to another RP Gamer head-to-head. We haven't had one for a while. This is our take 6 or 7 because apparently I don't know how to work a computer. But here we are all together. This is for Fallout 3. This is the head-to-head in which we throw some reviewers into Skype and make them all talk about a single game, whether they agree or not, and in which we also have MIDI musical segues, whether you like it or not. Let's introduce the heads we have here today. We have the vicious Vancouverite, Adrian Den Ouden, or Omega Byte.
Hey, everyone.
That is his lovely, sensuous voice. We also have the Tennessee Terror, Michael Cunningham.
Feed me.
And we often do. And we have Glenn.
1, 2, 3.
I don't want to set the world on fire.
I just want to start a flame in your heart.
Wow, that was so impromptu, guys. I never heard that before.
Lovely.
It was the first time the listeners heard it, so that's all that matters.
It'd be better if our host wasn't retarded. How to hit record.
Yeah, I do take blame for that.
We sat around practicing that, you know. We've been practicing the singing bit for the last hour, and we just now got ready to record it.
Time to talk about your thoughts of the game uninterrupted.
What game?
Oh, it's Fallout 3. Have you played it? You heard of it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So tell me what system you played it for. Wait, we all played it on the 360, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, so we all played on the 360. So if you have it for the PC or the PS3, then go jump out a window or something. This will not help you out. So first up, Adrian, why don't you tell us your thoughts about the game?
So we're mixing it up now? What happened to, Glenn?
Well, Glenn, you ruined it last time, so on our take two...
Technically, you ruined it last time.
Yeah, but let's not talk details. Let's not talk semantics here. Let's go with Adrian first.
I'd rather hear Glenn's thoughts first.
Oh, well, then let's just override the host and let's listen to Glenn. What'd you think about the game?
Oh, yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Pretty good. Let's understate that just a little more.
Yeah.
I paid for... release date delivery on Amazon so I could play it in 4 days before I was moving to a hotel in Rhode Island to live for a couple months. So I got it and finished it with a day to spare because it was so good that I didn't do anything but sleep and eat and crap and play Fallout 3.
All at the same time.
I know.
No. You can't see the television from the toilet. Although I did sleep on the couch sometimes, but I don't think I did playing Fallout 3. Do you want, like, my background? Like, I was a big fan of Fallout 1 and Fallout 2 and the games Black Isle made, and I also liked Morrowind and Oblivion a lot. So this was the game I thought it would be, that it was everything Bethesda does well, and it was put in the Fallout universe in a way that I liked. So I thought it was an excellent game. I thought it was one of the best games I'd ever played.
Great. Okay, let's hear from Michael, then. What do you think?
I had absolutely no Fallout experience going into this. I'd played probably 15 minutes of Oblivion before I turned it off and returned it. And I went into this not knowing what in the world to expect, and I absolutely fell in love with the game. It was a game that sucked me in from the get-go, and I didn't expect it to. You know, my hopes weren't, you know, super high like Glenn's were. I didn't care. I was just like, oh, I got it. I'll try it out. And I fell in love with it, so that's where I stand.
Cool. That's actually similar to me as well, but I am not one of the heads, so I'll pass it on to Adrian.
Yes, I'd also gone into the game not really knowing anything about the Fallout universe. I'd heard of the games, but I'd never actually played any of the older ones. I had played about 15 or 20 hours of Oblivion and just completely loathed it. So I'm not a big fan of Bethesda's work, so Fallout 3 actually surprised me in that it wasn't completely awful. In fact, it was actually a really good game. It was actually a really fun game, but it had several problems that drove me nuts throughout.
Okay, so actually, let's get to the part where you guys are. Feel free to interrupt each other. Let's talk about the battle system. And Adrian, we'll start with you.
I need to interrupt you for a second.
Yeah.
Adrian, so you bought the game even though you expected it to be total crap?
I didn't buy the game until I'd read both your review and Michael's review. Your two reviews combined convinced me to give it a shot, at least.
Wow. So you were expecting...
And I was a bit surprised. I was quite surprised.
When you had somebody that loved it and somebody that loved Oblivion in that style and the prior Fallout games and somebody that didn't like it both coming together to like this one game, I guess that's a good selling point.
It was mostly Michael's review, really, because he's told me before that he didn't like Oblivion. And I've talked to other people who didn't like Oblivion that did enjoy Fallout 3, so I thought I'd give it a shot to see if it really was as different as people were saying. And it really is. It's a lot different from Oblivion. But it's still got some problems that Oblivion has.
On that note, I went out and bought Oblivion afterwards just because I liked Fallout 3 so much that I want to give it another try.
And what do you think so far?
I haven't given it a try yet.
Oh, okay. What? I'm going to, though. I'm only a few hours into Fallout 3 because I've been paying my attention to Pokemon Ranger and Prince of Persia.
Whatever, it's because you play 4 hours of a game before you switch to another one.
Dude, I played like 40 hours of Pokemon Ranger. That game is tops, alright? But we're not talking about Pokemon Ranger. Let's talk about the battle system in Fallout 3, because Adrian wasn't as big of a fan as, say, Glenn was. Why didn't you like it as much, Adrian?
Well, it's not a really bad system. It's just, it's not interesting. It's got some decent ideas, but for the most part, it's a first-person shooter with a targeting system that really doesn't even need to be there.
I think you ought to clarify how you played. I know that's one thing about the battle system. Well, people can play different ways. What style did you play?
I played with small guns. I had a fair number of points in agility, so I used the VAT system for the most part. Although I did manually aim every now and then if I ran out of action points.
Okay, so those unfamiliar, you could either play with as a first-person shooter, or you could go into what is called the VAT system, where you literally stop the action and kind of zoom in on specific body parts, which would have percentages where you could hit, and your different stats would kind of affect if you're able to hit it, how quickly, and all those types of things. You can kind of play either way. That's what we mean when we refer to the VAT system.
In any case, my issue with this combat system mostly involved that it had this great little targeting system where you can target enemy limbs, their head, their body, their legs, their arms, etc., etc. But there really wasn't much of a point. I mean, if you did enough damage to a particular limb, you'll cripple them and they'll have some sort of negative effect on their movement. But enemies died so fast and targeting the head did so much extra damage that I never found any need to target anything other than the head, except for when the accuracy was just pitiful.
See, I had a similar situation too, because I went into the game and I was playing mostly melee. I went club, and bats. You get a bat right off the start, so I stuck with, you know, the melee combat to start with, and absolutely loved going through there. So anytime I went to the VAT system, I only had one option. You know, it only lets you aim for the head in that. So it didn't bother me, but it helped me in tight situations where people were shooting all around me and I could jump in and, you know, just go to the VAT system, get a nice swing in on them.
I use the limb some, like in the first third of the game before your character kind of owns everything in sight. There were times where I would try to shoot arms because if you critical an enemy's arm, he'd usually drop the gun if it was a two-handed gun, and that would give you a few more hits. Or when you first start fighting mutants, you're too weak to be, if it has a melee weapon, he's going to close the gap and start beating you with a sledgehammer. So there were times where I would try to critical a mutant's leg, and then when VATS ended, I would be faster than the mutant, and I could run away until there was some distance between us, and then open VATS again and shoot him elsewhere.
That's good to know.
I used it some in the beginning, but not later.
I wish I knew that before, Glenn, because I got killed by many mutants when I was going off exploring, and that would have been helpful. But anyway, you gave this game a 5. Glenn, so did you think there was nothing that could be improved upon with the battle system?
The battle system? I had no problems with the battle system. I kind of want to play it again. But just to re-go through the beginning, because like Mac and Adrian were saying, once you got to a certain point where you were just so awesome, you just headshot things and their heads would explode and they die, and there wasn't a lot to the battle system at that point. But when it was challenging, I mean, I always prefer more challenging games. I thought the battle system was more intriguing kind of in the first third when you had to think of where you were shooting people. For improvements for the game as a whole, I wish the level cap were higher. That kind of crippled it because once you hit level 20, you were way too powerful. You could destroy anything, except maybe Deathclaws. You could kill about anything in the game easily. So
you want it to be higher so that you're even more powerful than you are to start with?
Well, it would have let them make more powerful enemies.
Okay.
By the time I hit about level 14 or 15, I think I might have only died one, maybe two more times for the rest of the game, and they were explosion accidents.
Okay,
know?
So if you lost interest in the battle system, well, not lost interest, but you weren't as enthralled, what kept you going then in the second two-thirds of the game?
No, I love the battle system. I liked it the whole time. I just thought it was better when it was challenging. I mean, one of the things I liked a lot about it is games always get the M rating, but if you watch an R-rated movie or an M-rated video game, the game is always much less violent. Or if you play Gears of War, you don't really get to see what you're doing as well. I love the way Fallout 3 let you queue up the commands. What are you saying, Adrian?
I'm just saying, are you saying that Fallout 3 is less violent than most movies?
That's not where I'm going. That was one of the things I liked about Fallout, was it would slow down and you'd see the bullets in slow motion tearing through people and the blood flying. And I thought it was just very beautiful and gruesome and gory in a way that video games don't do. Because you're playing a first-person shooter, you're seeing something far away, and you're not seeing all the blood and guts fly everywhere. And if you're playing an RPG, usually it's kind of the cartoony Final Fantasy, you hit it with a sword and then it vanishes, And I love the battle system of Fallout 3 for things that kept me going. Like, I liked when I got better at it, and watching their heads explode, and watching their limbs fall off when they died, and watching them fall off cliffs and hotels whenever you shoot them on the balcony. Like, that was a morbid thing that kept me going for the game.
I can agree with you there.
Yeah, it was finally an R-rated game.
That is what kept me going too, is the visuals, the excessively violent visuals. I took the Bloody Mess perk, which was absolutely hilarious. There's something very strange and awesome about watching a hunting rifle cause an enemy to explode into a bloody mess of limbs and gore.
For sure. Okay, I want to know, Michael.
Yes.
What would you say is your favorite aspect of Fallout 3? Because there's a lot in this game.
Oh, the one thing that kept me coming back, and I'll say this, I played through the main quest. It took me about 25 hours. And this is the first game I can think of in years that after I've beat the main storyline, I went back to do more missions and ended up playing 40 plus hours total. So the fact that there's so much to explore, you can go around the world, you're always interacting with new NPCs, you find new quests to start, you're going, anywhere that you want to do any kind of quest that you want at any time, and the fast travel makes it really easy to do. There's just so much to do in the game. It really is.
Okay, what did you guys think of, say, the dialogue trees, which was different from Mass Effect, where Mass Effect would kind of give you an idea and then the character would say something similar. Fallout 3 actually had the exact wording but gave you many more options. They were kind of all in the gray area. What did you think of, the dialogue tree and, talking to all the different characters, Adrian?
It was interesting enough, but for the most part, I never found the characters all that interesting in the game. They were all very, dry, emotionless even. It just, any character you really talked to didn't really have much of a personality to them, or they're just there to give you information or provide supplies or something along that line.
Well, if they had a personality, it was kind of the same personality over and over again, where it's like, life is tough and this world sucks. And if they had a background story, it was what horrible thing happened earlier in their life that made their life so terrible, in addition to living in a post-apocalyptic wasteland. So, I mean, they had a personality, but it was something that after the first few people you talked to, it was just a series of depressing stories that didn't really have a quest associated with them that much.
You played more for the overall world than you did for any one specific set of characters. And
yeah,
especially more so than the main storyline, because the main storyline was fairly shallow.
But that was the biggest draw for me in that game. The biggest draw for me in that game was the exploration and the finding little bits and pieces in the world. It was the world that was interesting. It had nothing to do with the people and things that were in the world. It had to do with how the world came to be.
Exactly.
That's why I think it makes for a really strong role player, because you never really see your character's face, but you get this really strong connection, because now, Glenn, I know, wrote in his review, is a sense of, desperation you have in Fallout 3, and the game really is about your character and learning how to, survive in this crazy, depressing world.
I like the way the NPCs were handled, too, because they were more props that added to the game world, instead of being this functional, typical, whiny NPCs who, I really want an apple, and then you have to go find a city that has an apple and then bring it back to them. I mean,
Well,
they
there
almost made
were
him
those
feel
annoying little
worthless.
guys outside the towns that were whining for
For water.
purified water, yeah.
Yes, there were dehydrated, dying people who asked for water. That's true, but that wasn't
but
like a quest.
you could shoot though, and just they were gone. You didn't have to worry about that anymore.
Right, that's true. You could kill any character at all. That's what was really cool about it.
You were ending their suffering, really. You were helping them.
Except kids.
You couldn't kill kids. I didn't know that. I never tried to kill a child.
They're immortal.
Oh, well, most kids are.
You could kill children in Fallout 1 and Fallout 2. That was something Bethesda changed because they thought letting you run around murder children might be bad for PR purposes.
Fable 2 did the same thing. It was kind of disappointing. I was looking forward to killing my wife and child.
Now we all know never to marry Adrian. So I also, I mean, I'm usually a big fan of music, but at least in the first few hours that I played, there was barely any that I noticed. Is that stay continuous throughout the entire game?
No,
We
you're a
just
goof.
sang you some of the best music from the game. You apparently haven't got to the part where you get the radio station and you get to hear classic
You get the
1940s,
radio
50s
station as
songs.
soon as you walk out the door.
Oh
Like, the
yeah,
radio
that's
station
true.
was immediate.
I meant
But
like.
it's got static and stuff on it, so you can't really. And you can turn it off if you want to. And he probably listened to Enclave Radio, is what I would imagine.
Yeah, that got old.
Yeah.
But no, I meant more like original orchestrated music, like things that would kind of bring mood to the. But I guess that didn't really have a place in that world as much.
It was
No.
there. It was faint. I mean, I lightly mentioned it in the review that there was kind of background classical music, that it was kind of vanilla and bland. And I mean, it wasn't bad, but it didn't add anything. I mean, I think the real point, what you're supposed to be listening to, is the DJ Three Dog. You're supposed to be listening to his radio station, where they play thematic 40s and 50s music. There weren't a lot of tracks, so over the course of a 40-hour game, you kind of end up hearing the same seven songs over and over and over. But that's what you're
It's
supposed to
about
be
a
listening
dozen,
to.
actually, but.
And they never leave your head. They're still in your head forever. Butcher Pete, it's never going to leave my head.
That's a wonderful song.
I know, I loved it.
Okay, anything else you feel like you need to be covered? Like, Adrian, you feel like what was your favorite part of the game?
Like I said, it was the exploration and finding little bits and pieces of history all over the world. I mean, the history of this Fallout universe is disturbing, to say the least. If you go into any of the vaults, you can find sinister little things from Vault Tech. They're bizarre social experiments that they're performing. One of the most entertaining little bits of information I gleaned out of the game was the Nuka-Cola company and their Nuka-Cola quantum beverage, which is laced with a radioactive isotope.
See, that's nice of them. And see, that's another thing that I really enjoyed about the game. It was the little things. It wasn't so much the world or the NPCs, but there was one part that I was going through downtown DC and I was just exploring, trying to get different parts of the map explored. Next thing you know, I pick up a radio station and there's a distress call. You know, it's just out of nowhere. I start hearing a distress call, and that opens a whole new quest. I didn't even know it was there. It wasn't like there was this town with this NPC saying, "Hey, come talk to me. I want you to save me or help me out." You know,
Yeah, that's
so
true. Even.
just.
Sorry, continue, Michael.
No, I was just going to say, just starting a quest like that out in the middle of nowhere when you're exploring the world, it was great.
Yeah, again, I only played a few hours, but it seemed really organic. I remember I went exploring as well. I found another vault, and actually, even just going through a few rooms, I got too terrified. I'm like, there could be more mutants in here. Who knows what kind of crazy. It was almost the fact I didn't want to discover more secrets because the world felt so real because it was like you could go anywhere you wanted to. Which I always appreciate in a game. Okay, well, is there anything else anybody feels needs to be said?
There is one thing I'd like to talk about real quick, and that's the enemies. Well, actually, not necessarily enemy AI, just AI in general, as well as NPC behavior. I thought this was
Oh, yeah.
atrocious throughout the game, in
Your
all
NPCs are
respects.
not the brightest in the world, and I had some issues with some of the NPCs having bad pathfinding as far as the companion NPCs. I had a rather large companion NPC at one time, and
I had a
he'd
wonderful
get
experience with the
stuck.
little dog. I had a wonderful experience with the
Dog
dog,
meat.
dog meat, the dog. It was
Yeah, if that
I was
dog
in
lasted more than 5 minutes, you were lucky.
it was wonderful. I had a sniper rifle and I was up on a ridge shooting a camp of raiders, and I missed at one point and apparently alerted the enemy, and the enemy was trying to find me or something like that. Obviously, he couldn't. I was way up on this ridge with a sniper rifle. But Dogmeat decided that, oh no, I was in danger. So he ran down into this little compound without even me noticing. And awesome. I'm just going around, I'm sniping these enemies, just taking them out one by one, just so I don't have to go down there and deal with them myself. And I just noticed this dog run by, and I'm wondering, what the hell are you doing, Dogmeat? And a few seconds later, Dogmeat has died appear on my screen. I'm like, all right, you know what, dog? If you're going to be that stupid, you can stay dead.
I think that's the true role of Dogmeat. I think the role of Dogmeat is to suicidal rampage his way, you know, out of the game, and for you to eventually to feel bad at first and then just not care.
Well, I think his name should have been Kamikaze instead.
This Dogmeat. I mean, this, you know, yeah. He sounds like he's already dead.
But it wasn't just the companion AI that bothered me. It was also just NPC AI in general, like the behavior patterns that a lot of NPCs. Particular towards like aggression. If you performed any aggressive actions in a town, there was one thing that really bugged me right early on in the game in Megaton. There's a situation in which one character blows another NPC away, and as soon as that happens, there's like three or four people around you when it happens, and they don't lift a finger to do anything. You have to deal with the guy yourself. But if you were to say shoot the same guy later, or like earlier on somewhere else, the entire town would go into an uproar and try to blast you away. It makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah. I had a small problem later in the game. I was given an evil quest to do, and then after I was given it, I guess I became too good to do the quest, and then I tried to do it anyway, and it made an entire town of people angry at me. So I killed a few of them and then just never returned. But yeah, I think that was glitched off of me changing alignment in the middle of a quest, and then I couldn't complete the quest.
Well, there are a few other glitches in the game, too. There was lots of places I physically, my character got stuck, and I would have to reload my last save. I'd be
really?
Stuck in...
You, see, that happened to me a couple times, but I stubbornly mashed every button, and after being stuck for a few minutes, I eventually popped out.
I tried everything. I tried changing my view a couple times. Changing from first person to third person view gave me a little more freedom to, you know, get out. But there were still some parts after I'd gone deep into, like, this building, and I was looking for a bobblehead in there, and I got stuck on the bottom level, couldn't get out for anything, so I had to restart that part. And it wasn't all the time, but it happened enough to be noticeable.
I only got stuck once during my playthrough of the game. It was, I can't remember where it was, but for some reason I jumped up on a table and got stuck in a science kit. It was kind of strange.
That's funny.
All right, great. Well, it sounds like, despite the glitches and little things here and there, this is a game that's definitely worth playing. Would you all agree?
Yes.
Definitely.
I'm not a fan of Western RPGs typically, but I really got drawn into this game, and I'm really interested to play more of it and complete it, hopefully, early next year.
I'm with Mac and Adrian, too, that I just think it really pulls you in. You kind of get that when there aren't NPCs pointing you in different directions all the time. It's a game world that you want to explore on your own, and you want to find things. And there's lots of little hidden moments in the game, like Adrian's story about Dogmeat, like running out while he was trying to snipe people from a distance. I mean, there were a lot of little crazy moments in the game that weren't necessarily scripted, that were just things that happened, and they kind of made your jaw drop. Or just there were a lot of neat little moments in the game, some in quests and some that just happened. That doesn't happen to me when I play games very often. It's usually everything is such a linear planned affair. There aren't really awesome moments in games anymore. And the plot twists that happen in JRPGs all the time, kind of grown apathetic to it since Final Fantasy VII, I guess. I thought that was one of the big pulls of Fallout 3, was how you can play the game you want to play it. And the leveling system was really good, too. You could customize your character so much. And there were a lot of good options to pick between, instead of games that are open-ended that give you a lot of crappy options to choose between, or some obvious powerful abilities and obvious lame ones. This one gives you a slew of powerful things to pick between.
I played as a female character, and my favorite ability was Black Widow, where I get extra options to kind of talk my way out of things just because of my female wiles. So I see what you mean.
Not surprising.
I know, right? Okay, on that lovely note, I'd like to thank all of you. Thank you, Adrian. You stayed up past your bedtime for this. Michael, thank you very much. You're missing dinner for this. And Glenn, thank you very much. You're missing your boring life for this. So talk with all of you. We'll talk to all of you soon. Thank you, RP Gamer listeners, and we'll see you in the next head-to-head. Bye.
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 Bye. I think played it on the Xbox.
Oh wait, guys. Are you ready to love me? Are you ready to love me? I didn't press record. Oh, I just noticed that.
Son of a...